glad you're tuned in because this is going to be an excellent show. I have two phenomenal guests you'll get to meet in just a moment. But first, let me just kind of set it up for you. We've been talking for the last few weeks about sports, about women's basketball, and specifically about Caitlin Clark and Iowa. Well, we know now, because I'm recording this after the championship, we know now that South Carolina defeated Iowa in the championship game, completing that undefeated season. Of course, I was rooting for Caitlin Clark in Iowa, but I got to hand it to Dawn Staley and her team. They played hard. They played Caitlin Clark properly. They utilized the inside game of Camilla Cardoso. They deserve the championship, so they have it. Disappointed, but hey, what an amazing time for women's sports. I have never heard so many people, guys, really diving into this tournament. I didn't hear much about the men's tournament throughout. Not a disrespect to the guys at all, but a lot of people were zoned in on women's basketball. And that's a good thing, no matter who ended up being the champion, right? But I'm not going to, I'm not going to ignore the guys. I'm just not saying anything about the winner yet because as I'm recording this, the gentlemen have not played their game yet. That will come tonight. And I can predict this. The winner will either be Purdue or UConn. That was not a tough prediction, of course. Those are the only two teams left standing, right? So let me tell you a little bit about our guests. I have on the show Jason Romano. He is formerly of ESPN. I'll tell you a little bit more about him and what he's doing now in a moment. And then also I have Chris Romano. Now you have heard me talk about my sports background. You've heard me say that I coached and you've heard me mention that I had a male assistant coach who knew and knows much more than I do about the game of basketball. And so our teams would not have had the success we had without Chris Romano, right? It takes someone secure as a head coach to have someone who is your assistant coach who knows so much more. And Chris Romano did, and he does. And so both of these guys, they're brothers. Both of them are going to be here today, and they're going to talk to us about sports, about women's basketball, where we are, where we were, and where they see us going. All right, so you're going to enjoy that. Let me tell you a little bit about them. First of all, there's Jason Romano. He is an author, a speaker, a media professional with over 25 years of broadcasting and multimedia production experience. He is the director of media with Sports Spectrum and the host of the popular Sports Spectrum podcast. For 17 years, he was an Emmy Award-winning producer and senior manager at ESPN. He has created and produced content for shows such as SportsCenter, NFL Live, Mike and Mike in the Morning, Sunday NFL Countdown, College Game Day, Outside the Lines, and Major League Baseball's All-Star Game, and many more. He's been featured in multiple local and national media outlets and platforms, and he's here with us today. And then there's Chris Romano, his brother, my friend, actually Dr. Chris Romano. He was born and raised in Ravenna, New York, where he excelled as a three-sport athlete. His passion for sports led him to coach high school football and both boys and girls basketball. His love for sports is only matched by his love for Jesus and his family. Over the past 26 years, he has served in pastoral ministry, church planting, overseas missions, and most recently as the president of Vision Christian Bible College and Seminary. Chris has been happily married to his high school sweetheart and my friend, Tara, for 25 years. Together, they have 5 wonderful children and 3 grandchildren, and they have 1 grandchild coming in May. And so they're going to share with us their expertise, their experience. They are top-notch guys, and I am absolutely thrilled to have them on the show. And before I let you meet them, let me say, too, that I am in the line of the total eclipse, so we're just a few minutes away from that. And so I got my glasses. So what a great day. We've got a total eclipse, and then we've got the Romano brothers. Can't script it better than that. All right, you ready? Here we go. Jason and Chris Romano, I'm so glad to have you on the Adrian Ross Show. Welcome.
It's good to be here.
It's awesome to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited. And I've already told those who are listening and those who are watching how phenomenal you two are, and that they're in for a treat. See, we've been talking about sports for the last few weeks on the show. We specifically targeting women's basketball in particular, because I personally feel like this is an exciting time for women's sports. But I feel that way. But I want to know, you guys who are seasoned sports guys, I want to know what you think about all the talk going on about women's basketball in particular. So again, I shared everyone your bios with everyone, but I want to ask you, Jason, first of all, if you could tell us, you know, what exactly you did at ESPN and now at Sports Spectrum. I mean, we hear like producer, we hear senior manager, but if you're like me, that totally goes over your head, over the head. So, you know, maybe about three or four sentences kind of sum up what you did there and now what you're doing.
Yeah, those are just titles, right? Like those are formalities in order to go through a formal review with your bosses. No, I was there and I was a producer. In essence, I worked on the radio side, the television side, and then the social and digital media side for 17 years. And I worked on Mike and Mike in the Morning and Sports Center and First Take and Outside the Lines and some of the shows that you would watch and know for many of those years, some that are no longer in existence. But yeah, I was a behind the scenes guy. You know, I booked guests. I helped secure the content that you would see on television, the discussions, the topics, and got to travel a little bit, not too much, but primarily on the NFL my last 7 to 8 years. But before that, and even when I was working on shows like Outside the Lines or First Take, I was working on all sorts of sports. So it was a good time. Yeah, fun time there.
Yeah. And so what are you doing now?
So now I lead a small team. When you go into sports ministry, it's a much smaller team here with Sports Spectrum. So I host our Sports Spectrum podcast, which is where most people might recognize or know, you know, that kind of content. But I'm also overseeing a team of about 4 or 5 as we continue to tell stories and share all sorts of stories in the world of sports. But the uniqueness of what we do now is we intersect those conversations with faith, and we ask athletes and coaches and other people in the world of sports about their journey with Jesus. And so it's become more ministry, just as much as it is media, but I still get to work in sports. So it's pretty cool.
And what are some of the names of players and coaches you've had opportunity to speak with?
Well, that's like asking, you know, I mean, we've had over 1,000 interviews, Adrian, but I will say this, I'll give you a few names. So we've talked to people like Kirk Cousins and Brock Purdy and Tony Dungy in the NFL world, and, you know, people in the NBA like Jonathan Isaac and others, some Hall of Famers that we've talked to in sports. We've talked to a lot of coaches, particularly in the basketball world and the football world. So it's been a vast array of people, I would say, that we've spoken with, certainly in the broadcasting space too, and reporters. We try to go outside of the realm of just athletes and coaches, but I think those people are the ones that people would recognize and know in the world of sports. So
that's amazing. And your bio says that you took a leap of faith, and that's, you know, that's, I like that, you know, but
that's what it was. I mean, I wanted to write a book called Leap of Faith because that's exactly what it was when I left. It was a leap of faith to go into the faith space, but it was also a leap of faith to trust God with the direction that he was steering me in. So.
Absolutely. Well, wonderful. Chris Romano, we go way back.
Yes, ma'am.
Your sports story is long and varied also. Mm-hmm. And I had already talked about you on the show about how I, you know, had an opportunity to coach with someone who was phenomenal. But, you know, before we met, you were already obviously in the sports world. Tell us a little bit about your background in sports.
Yeah, well, Jay and I both grew up in a household where sports was pretty much everything. It was our religion. Even though we went to Catholic mass growing up on Saturdays, particularly on Saturday nights, because you couldn't miss Sunday morning football, you know, all the pregame stuff before football games and things. But we grew up in a household that really just prioritized sports, and we all played sports. But, you know, for some reason, I was able to, you know, excel in all three sports that I played, you know, football, basketball, and baseball. Football was probably my primary love, probably the one that I was the best at. Mm-hmm. But I tore my rotator cuff my freshman year in college. And so that kind of ended my football career. So I had a wonderful mentor, Gary Vanderzee, who's just retired now as the head coach of Ravenna. He was there over 40 years. And he was actually one of the inspirations to get me into coaching. And I was 19 years old. I really didn't want to coach. I felt like I really wanted to play still.
Yeah.
But I got into coaching, and it got me around the game. And one thing led to another. I just loved teaching and imparting and encouraging and challenging and young people. And we had immediate success. You know, my first 3 years coaching, we went to the state championship 3 years in a row.
Wow.
And then that just opened doors to begin to coach in other sports. I've coached basketball. I've coached baseball. And loved every bit of it. I don't honestly know. Like, I don't honestly know if I loved coaching more than I loved playing. They both really are strong affections for me. So,
yes. And you've had the opportunity to coach both guys and gals.
Yeah.
And that'll come into play in our conversation today.
Sure.
Before we go too far into that, you catch the, I've already said, listen, we're recording this the day after the women's national championship. You guys catch that championship. I'd like to know what your thoughts were going into the game. You got South Carolina undefeated, Dawn Staley, a legend, you know, and then you've got this sensation in Caitlin Clark in Iowa. What were your thoughts going in, and what are your observations about the game and how it ended up playing out? However you want to take that, you know, Romano, you can start there.
Yeah, well, we're both Romanos, but I know
you.
I knew she was talking about you, though, Chris.
I told myself that I was going to have to say which Romano I was talking to. I have a habit of calling you just Romano.
It's all good.
Dr. Chris Romano. What were your thoughts about the game?
Yeah, you know, going in, first of all, the Final Four itself was incredible. The UConn-Iowa game was just sensational. And I know there was some controversy there at the end, and probably rightly so. But
yeah. We'll get into that.
I know. Yeah. So I expected South Carolina to win. I thought they had the better team, all around team. But I was hoping Iowa was going to win just for Caitlin Clark. I think she's just become such an incredible story, not just in women's sports, but really in all sports. And I think that's one of the things that made her so special. Was she transcends women's basketball and women's sports in general. But yeah, the game played out kind of how I thought it was going to. She was hot really early, obviously. I think she had 18 points in the first quarter. It kind of looked like she might do it. But South Carolina's defense in particular wore them down, and their size wore them down. And, you know, what a team that they have. I mean, the last couple of years, undefeated. And then obviously they actually closed the deal this year. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What about you, Jason? What did you think?
I was really intrigued by the hype around it, which was really cool to watch. And I watched the game, and you watch the intricacies of, you know, ebbs and flows of a team, you know, the way Iowa started. You know, I think they were up 19-8. You know, and Clark's hitting shots from the logo, and everybody's going crazy, and then it kind of settles in. But not just from a basketball perspective, but from a just an outsider looking in kind of perspective. I'll say this: I was watching the championship game at the Phoenix Airport. I was in Phoenix, Arizona this past weekend, home of the NCAA Men's Final Four, and it was fat. I mean, there were lines at the bars and at the restaurants at the airport to get in to sit and watch that game, because it started at noon Phoenix time. And I knew, like, there's a buzz around this. I went and got a hamburger because I wasn't going to stand in line, right? So I went and got a hamburger, and I'm sitting there and I'm watching the game on my phone, and I'm looking over and two people are watching the games on their phone. So you could just see, like, that alone – tells me that the interest in this game. Yeah, it was just awesome to see. That's not something I've ever seen before. I followed women's basketball pretty closely, I would say, over the past decade or two, having lived in Connecticut and still live in Connecticut. It's really the number one until this year, maybe the last couple of years. It's the number one sport in this state is UConn women's college basketball because they've won for so many years. So you pay attention just from that perspective. But this year has been a lot different. And it really started with the championship last year when Caitlin Clark was in there against LSU and you saw what happened with her and Angel Reese and everything. But this year, you could start to see that people were tuning into a regular season women's college basketball game in February because Caitlin Clark was playing and they were really tuned in by it. And you can follow on social media and see people tweeting about it. So the interest was really fascinating to me. We watched, I was with a group of guys and gals on last Friday night, watching the final four games. And we watched that UConn-Iowa State game with a lot of interest. And, you know, the way it ended, Chris referred to, but I love it. Like it, to me, and Caitlin Clark, this may be a completely different topic, you know, that you're going to go down the road on here, but this reminds me of 2015, 2014, when Stephen Curry started to do his thing in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And it changed the landscape of the way the game was played. And it changed the landscape of fans and of kids showing an interest. I'm seeing this now with women's college hoops because of Caitlin Clark. And certainly now that Caitlin Clark has kind of become front and center, you see these other players that she's playing against that are also starting to take shape. And you're watching these young players like Paige and Juju and Hannah Hidalgo and all these players. And you're like, okay, there's some real talent here, which has been there for a while, but it took like a Caitlin Clark to come to women's hoops the way Stephen Curry did, you know, a decade or two ago to really, I think, captivate all of us. It's been awesome to watch.
It has been. And I wasn't going to go there yet, but you've got my, I'm going to go there now since you're there. I want to know why. Now I've watched, you know, I didn't play in college. I got scared, but I played in high school. I coached, obviously. I mean, I followed the game. I followed the WNBA. And I'm a Lady Vols fan. So, you know, I miss Coach Pat Summit and all that. Right. Which is why I don't like UConn because that rivalry is intense.
Oh yeah.
But I've seen some great players, you know, I've seen Cheryl Swoops and, you know, I've seen Lisa Leslie, Shamika Holtzclaw. I've seen these, we could go on. And many of them have been phenomenal, I think. And you might be able to name some more. But what is the difference now? Because there is, I've never seen like guys fighting on Twitter over this Caitlin Clark whole thing. I mean, it's like intense, you know?
Well, I have a thought. And I know that I'm a little biased with this one. Because I'm a Laker fan and I'm actually a Kobe fan, always will be. I think Kobe had a lot to do with it. And Kobe was in the undercurrent. Obviously as this thing begins to progress, particularly from this year forward, or as Jay mentioned, kind of last year's championship game serving as a hinge for this year, Kobe had so much to do because Kobe was, he championed women's basketball. And it wasn't just about his daughter. It was really, I mean, Sabrina is very outspoken and other players during that time period are very outspoken about Kobe's support and the way that Kobe was throwing resources and the way Kobe was just kind of serving as a spokesperson for women's basketball. And so I really think he has a lot to do with it. He has a legacy in this, no matter where it ends up. But so does social media. And I don't know if Jay will speak to that or if that's something that even he was considering, but I think social media is a big thing too. And so obviously in the era that preceded this or the era that you grew up in, or even when we were coaching together, which for me was sort of my introduction to women's basketball. Man, I had heard of Cheryl Miller. I'd heard of some of these players, but it wasn't really till I started getting around you and hearing about your love for the Houston Comets and, Cynthia Cooper and Tina Thompson, that whole right, and then work and then actually coaching with these young ladies, you know. But there was no social media, you know. I really think the presence that we have now is conducive for maximum maximum expansion and maximum growth.
Yeah,
I would agree. I would totally agree with social media. And I also think it takes someone, you know, I talk to a lot of people who are maybe 10 years younger than me. I'm 50 years old. And they'll talk about Allen Iverson and mm-hmm. how he transcended the game for them at that stage 20 plus years ago. And then you'll talk to the guys who are 30 and under, or even the teens or the young people. I mean, I'm a part of our Upward Basketball League. So I see kids ages 6, 7, and 8 playing basketball, and they're wearing Curry's, the Steph Curry sneaker, the Under Armour. And so Steph was that guy 10, 15 years ago, who's still that guy now, which is kind of crazy to think about how he's still right. doing it. And I think for the women, I mean, Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird were two that come to my mind, and that's 20 years ago as well. And to me, Diana Taurasi, I mean, Caitlin Clark, she's got a ways to go to catch up to Diana Taurasi, who I always said she to me looked like one of the greatest players I've ever seen, men or women. When I
you
watched,
you gotta be careful, Jay. She's new prime. You gotta be careful.
I understand.
Yeah. And Sue Bird too. I mean,
I understand. But remember the state that I live in here.
I know, right?
But you take a Caitlin Clark and you bring her into the fold, I think you got like this, I don't know why it's the perfect timing, but it's just the perfect timing. It's social media, it's, you know, LeBron tweeting about the game. It's all of these things. It's, you know, it's a transcendent superstar that is playing in many ways like Steph Curry in the way that she plays. In fact, I have never talked to Caitlin Clark, but I would venture to say one of her influences has to be Steph. If you watch the way she plays, it's very much in the mold of the way he plays, right? It's just, we haven't seen that from a woman before in the WNBA in this modern day, in college basketball, in this modern age of mm-hmm. where we are with sports, where everything is about, you know, clicks and highlights and all this. Like she's doing that. Like yesterday, all I saw on Twitter was her 40 footer from the logo in the first half, or the first quarter it might've even been, of the championship game.
Right.
And but people are seeing that. And what I love is, you know, and we might get into this later too, you know, Chris having three daughters, myself having mm-hmm. a daughter. When you have a daughter, and I watched my daughter come through the high school ranks and be a co-captain in volleyball and in softball and play for state titles as well. It changed my view of women's sports, because now you have one of your own that's playing. And so I watch these kids. The one thing that bothers me, and it will always bother me with college sports though, is we take it so seriously. Like we're yelling and screaming. And like you said, people are jabbing on Twitter and they're 20-year-old kids. And I see my daughter, I'm like, she's 19, almost 20. If I had all these screaming fans yelling and screaming at her because she made a mistake or did something, I don't know. I just don't think it's fair in some cases to be screaming and yelling at someone who's 21 years old because they didn't score enough baskets for my team to win. So I think we take it a little too seriously.
We forget how young they are.
They're so young.
Even in their life decision, that conversation came up, I think, regarding Angel Reese in the post game. She was so, you know, emotional and all that. And someone was saying, you know, we have to kind of remember that they're young ladies and they're like, they're young. They're so young.
Yeah, she's 22 years old. And listen, is some of that brought upon them because they're playing on gigantic stages because of the NIL and the money and all this other stuff?
Yeah.
Sure. But remembering that they're 22 or 21 or 20 and just not going so crazy over, you know, that. It's really interesting because I've been to college campuses and you watch 60-year-old alumni screaming and yelling at, you know, their teams doing well or not doing well. And I'm thinking, man, they're looking at kids that are my daughter's age and screaming.
Yeah.
I love the passion, but we can take it a little overboard.
Yeah, we get caught up in it.
Search engines should be a place for you to discover the world and make your own decisions about what you find. That's why Luxel is improving your access to information. The new search engine eliminates search engine bias that gets in the way of your searches. You can filter results to lean right or left, and from there, you can sort it by Luxel's algorithm alphabetically and by freshness. Plus, there is no price for privacy. Luxel is free and doesn't track you or sell your data. So check out Luxel. That's LUXXLE.com and take control of your searches.
Chris, You commented on the, and so did you, Jason, on the controversy of that Final Four game, UConn, of course.
Yeah.
And I heard some people commenting that it's a fix. The call wasn't a good call. What do you think?
I think it was a foul.
So you say it was a foul.
I think it was a foul.
Sure.
Yeah, I think my perception is very similar to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, which I was very biased against because Eagles lost on a call to the Chiefs, which it was a penalty. It was a penalty. But my question, I think a lot of people's questions are, was it enough to decide the game in that moment? Like, do you throw the flag in that moment, similar to the UConn game the other night? Do you call the foul in that moment, or do you give Paige a shot, an opportunity to shoot the ball there?
So here's what I want to know. I want to know from you, Chris.
Yeah.
Do you swallow the whistle at that moment, or do you make the call? You.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a, it's, you know what? And I'm gonna, it's a tough question. I probably swallow the whistle, and let him play. And that's, I don't have any dog in the fight. I
Right,
wasn't not a
right.
UConn fan. I'm not an Iowa fan. But I like, and especially in those big moments, and I realize this can be kind of hypocritical. If you're in the first quarter, you're in the fourth quarter, people say a foul is a foul. I get that, and I respect that. But for me, in those big moments, unless it's such an obvious call, I think you need to let him play.
And so you're
Or
saying it wasn't that obvious?
I didn't
It
think
wasn't.
so.
You don't think so? Okay. What about you, Jason?
No, it was a screen. Like, we're calling a foul on a screen where she might have had her elbow up or not up.
She did.
She did, but we don't call that. Like, it's just like you don't
Brown,
call
that's
a
right.
holding penalty with whatever amount of time left in the game in football. You just let the players determine it. I think the ref got a little too big for their britches there by making that call and thinking, I'm going to make this big call here. And I just thought it was a, and I saw Gino's reaction, and this has nothing. I'm not a UConn fan. Let me preface this. I'm not. Chris knows this. I just never, I didn't grow up in Connecticut, so I'm not. But I thought that was one of those plays where UConn got slighted. I didn't think it was the right call. I mean, I did think it was the right, I think it was a foul. I didn't think it was the right moment to make that call. And I
Exactly.
would be Chris, like, just let him play.
Let him play.
And
Okay, so,
unfortunately, that didn't happen.
and this is how I see it. I was engaging with someone on social media who insists that it wasn't a foul. And my perspective on that is I might take you seriously if you admit that it's a foul, and then we
Yeah.
have a conversation about the
Right.
moment.
Right.
My personal feeling, and of course, I'm no UConn fan, but I do believe I'm honest. And so I did ask myself, would I be saying it if it were reversed? And I believe
Yeah.
I would, especially when I look at it in slow motion. And I get the benefit of doing that, right? Which the officials don't, but they made the call. And I think as I watch the play, I feel like it put her screen, put Marshall at a disadvantage to go out and cover Paige Beckers. And I feel like in that instance, you have to blow the whistle because she put her at a disadvantage, and now you've got Paige in the corner ready to make that shot. And I think that if it's a different situation, you don't blow the whistle. But
Yeah.
if you're putting a player at a disadvantage at that moment, you have to insert yourself. That's how I feel. I'm a firm believer generally that you don't want people talking about the officiating at the end. It's such a great game, and people are talking about the officials, right? And so,
Right.
let the players decide. But I think that not blowing the whistle may have been a dis then you're still making that decision, perhaps. I don't know. That's
I
just
think
well, I think
the Iowa player flopped a little bit though too. That was not as hard of a
you think that
foul.
was an acting job?
I don't think it was, well, I think you're doing anything you can do at that moment to try and win the game on both sides. So if a player goes into you, maybe you go back a little for harder than you normally would to get a call. I mean, I know I'd play that way if I was on the court. It's like, maybe I can draw a foul here. I
Yeah.
don't think it was a flop per se, but I do think it wasn't as aggressive as maybe the ref called it in that way. Do I think it was a foul? Probably, but I still wouldn't have called it.
All right. Romano, were you going to weigh in more?
Now, I was just going to say, I'm not a ref hater, but I do believe I mean, I think they have one of the toughest jobs, you know, in sports as it is, especially in those big, big moments. But I think if you asked referees or officials, like off the record, like they have to say the right things, you know, when they're being interviewed,
Sure.
but or when they're being soundbite. But when you're off the record, I guarantee you that they would agree with us. You know, that was probably a foul, probably not the right time to blow the whistle. You know, let's see if Paige can hit the shot and, you know, determine the
Just
outcome.
thinks that that happened at that point, you know, like you would have liked to say, see what would have happened if,
Of
you know, what would
course.
happen if they didn't make that call, if this
Well,
didn't happen. I mean,
I
I've talked
was.
to a lot of referees and they don't want to be the center of attention in games at
No,
all. They want to
no.
be, they want to, it's a best game when nobody's talking about them. They had their best.
Absolutely. Yeah. They should
Well
be
said.
seen and not heard or
That's
something like
right.
that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I still think that it was the right call, but in the right time. So, okay. So let's go back. Let's go back to women's sports more broadly. And I want to know, there's a lot of we're seeing a change, I think, but there's a lot of men who simply are very not only not interested in women's, and that's, let me rephrase that. It's not just men. It's women might be worse towards women's sports. And I think that's because many of them, unless they were athletes, if they didn't play, a lot of times they were with their dads and their brothers, and they're watching guys, and they just don't have the respect for women's sports. But a lot of guys are not just disinterested, but downright like rude about it. What were your perspectives about women's sports, women's basketball, and has that changed at all over time?
Well, I can tell you straight, I didn't have a lot of respect growing up in that regard. I always saw women's sports kind of inferior, women athletes as inferior. You know, where I grew up, Rivino was a is a and still is it, it's a significant population of athletes. I mean, you know, and particularly in football. We had some success in basketball too, at certain years, but really football primarily. But we just didn't have a high regard for women athletes. And honestly, I don't know if the girls playing sports did either. That was sort of my context. I can't speak for every context, but it changed for me. It changed for me when I started coaching with you. That's when it changed for me. And I actually started getting into these girls' lives and just recognizing really for the first time how much they love the game. And you had a lot to do with that. You know, I mean, your passion for the game of basketball, you know, I think really just was contagious, you know, with the girls. And then it really impacted me as well.
Let me stop you there for a moment though, because when I think of you, I think of someone who showed passion even before that. You were coaching the younger girls. And you said something, and the girls that we ended up having, and then later on, after you were like, I gotta step away because I got young kids, I gotta, you know, focus in. And I went on, and then we won the conference championship the 2 years, you know, those 2 years that I didn't work with you. But I recognized that the reason why we were enjoying that was because of what you had put into them. But one of the things you said to me that I will always remember is that you said, listen, Adrian, my goal with these girls is not that we have, you know, the best record of all, you know, of all the junior high girls playing. That's not my goal. You said my goal is to make sure that they are fundamentally sound, and so that when they get to you win the Patroon Conference championship. And I will always remember that that takes passion in and of itself. And I don't know if that figures into what Jay was saying about having a daughters of your own, or whatever the case may be. But I think there was a little something there before I came into the
Well,
picture.
it was the game. I mean, I love the game, and for me it was a challenge because I had coached only you know, boys basketball, only men's sports prior to that. So it was a challenge for me, but I was passionate about the game. You know, I love the game so much. I still do. I miss coaching tremendously, and so I think it just translated, you know, into that space. But yeah, I mean, I had great joy watching you guys win the championship, even though I had stepped aside by that point, knowing that I had a little bit of a piece of it
A big
when you guys
piece.
were holding up that trophy.
I learned so much. I learned so much from you. But I had to swallow my pride and take a step back when it needed to be. You know, I could have let my ego get in the way, but I'm more of a disciplinarian than an X's and O's kind of person, you know, and a motivator, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Now, so Jay, was it the daughter that did it for you completely?
Well, I mean, like Chris said, we grew up loving sports, and I still think back to those days when we were so obsessed with it that it became, the god of our life for many years. And I would say during those years, I felt like Chris said, probably it's not that I felt women's basketball or women's sports was inferior. I just didn't really care if that, I hate, it sounds horrible to say, but it's true. Like I was
And I want
watching
you to be true. Yeah.
I was watching ESPN, and I guess if they covered it more, I probably would have cared a little bit more, if I'm being honest here. I remember the first real time frame of any women's basketball that I really started paying attention to was UConn. I think it was 95 when Rebecca Lobo won a title for them. And maybe it's because we were in, Albany and Ravenna, and it's a little closer to Connecticut. But then I
Right.
started to pay a little bit more attention, but it certainly wasn't, appointment viewing for me. And even when I got to ESPN and worked there, I could see where it stood. Like ESPN had the rights and still does to the women's games, but it definitely wasn't getting, like, they would be on the weekends. The women's championship was being played that day, but half their coverage was about the men. So it might be, oh, by the way, we're also here and the women play tonight, but let's spend a lot more time on the guys. And so it wasn't just, I think fans, because I do think fans pay attention when media starts paying attention too, and that's been a battle for years. I even posted this yesterday that I thought it's great that the women's national championship game was on ABC, but it was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon East
Yes,
Coast time.
should have been prime.
And I know why, but I think, and I'm glad that younger kids are able to watch it at 3 o'clock, but they were able to watch it at 6 o'clock too.
Oh,
So
no
why
doubt.
not get it to a little bit more closer to prime time, and you can get that rating in and everything. So they were not fully back yet. I think they might start looking at things like that in the future, because they got such a, I think they got a gold mine, if I'm being honest, kind of, and they fell right into it with the attention that's taken place. And they're adapting to the times too. But yeah, for me, it goes back to my daughter. It really does. Like, I never coached kids or girls. I never really were involved in girls' sports at all until my kid wanted to play. And suddenly I'm involved coaching her and watching her play basketball when she's 7, 8, 9 years old, watching her begin to want to play softball and volleyball. And I'll tell you now, like, we featured in our magazine a year ago the Oklahoma softball team on our cover. And we went and talked to that women's softball team and featured them. And that probably doesn't happen, if I'm being honest, if I don't have a daughter who played softball, because I can appreciate that sport now and I can see the talent level and what goes in and the strategy and all this stuff. And I can see how volleyball, I mean, my wife and I, we watched the national volleyball championships for the NAIA and the NCAA this year. We had to search for them and try to find them. But when we found them, we wanted to, my wife's just as much into it as I am. And when I watch it now, I have a greater appreciation. And so I'm excited for women's sports. And, if it takes me having a daughter to kind of wake my eyes up, because I'm a 50-year-old white dude who watched the NBA and watched Major League Baseball and watched, the NFL in the 80s and 90s, I'm all for it. And I'm just so happy, because my daughter is probably going to have kids someday, maybe a daughter. I'm hoping for all sons, but we'll talk that down the road. But maybe a daughter, and if she has a daughter, I want that daughter, my granddaughter, which Chris has, to be able to play sports and thrive in a way that, that we didn't see our kids or even us being able to watch and have happen.
So let's look into the future though, because Caitlin Clark is she's done. She's the April 15th is the WNBA draft. She's projected to go first. I noticed that the Coach Bluder said in the post game press conference, yes, Caitlin Clark is amazing, but I hope people will stick with us even though Caitlin Clark moves on. Is this a fad? I mean, I know it's hard to tell, but what do you think? Are we on the map By we, I mean women's basketball. Is it on the map, or is this some kind of passing thing? And if
Yeah.
it, how do we maintain it if it's if it seems to be fleeting?
Yeah, I think it's I don't think it's going to go back. I don't think it can go back. One of the things that stood out to me was the NBA All-Star game. When Steph and Sabrina, had that, one-on-one, three-point shooting contest, and Sabrina held her own. I mean, Sabrina can shoot. I mean, I know Sabrina might not be Caitlin Clark, in terms of like the note, but I'll tell you what, I'll take Sabrina any day. And now she's got a shoe, the Sabrina ones that are being worn by NBA players, which is tremendous. And I'm not talking about a few NBA players. I mean, and there's been other athletes, women athletes, women basketball players who've had shoe deals. But she has NBA stars who are wearing her shoe.
Yeah, it's
And
amazing.
they basically categorize like there's not men's shoes or women's shoes. This is a basketball shoe. And so I don't see how we can go back. And I've always been sort of objective about like, okay, every sport, it's all about players. I mean, it really is. When you think about the NFL, you think about the players. The players are always what bring the viewing. They're the ones who pack the stands. It's not coaches, although there's tremendous coaches. It's players. And I think that in the WN, I'm sorry, in women's college basketball, there are some superstar players. I mean, some of them like Juju are freshmen who will carry Caitlin's torch. And I think one of the advantages that women's college basketball in particular has is the longevity of these players staying in school. They have to stay at least 3 years. So you can build a legacy. You can build something that's going to last, within your own program. And that's what draws fans. I mean, that's, Caitlin Clark leaves last year and doesn't have this year. I mean, does she have the same impact?
Good
I
question.
don't, I don't, I don't know. But I don't see any scenario where we're going to go backwards. I think it's only going to go forwards. I think it's only going to get bigger and better. And I'm all for it. I'm all in.
You agree, Jason?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I just harken back the last few days where I was with a ton of people at the men's Final Four in Phoenix. And I got to be honest with you, at least half the conversations that I had were about the women's game and Caitlin Clark. They weren't even about the men. And there was a lot of questions and discussions about the men's side too, but to have the women and the men being in the same realm together in discussion from people who are high up in the men's side of things is exciting and very cool to see. And I think it's only going to go forward. Obviously, what I think is you're going to see now is and this is, maybe, I don't know, it's sort of people are going to start caring again. Like, I think people, and they got to care. And when I say people, I mean fans for sure. But I mean, to make this more than a niche sport and to have it be a sort of global sport, a wide net of fans that are watching, which is what we've seen the last few days here. That's where I think ESPN and CBS and Fox and Bleacher and Barstool and Sports Spectrum or whoever else you want to include in that, they all have to start paying attention too, and sharing more stories and focusing. And I think you're going to see this happen. And I think the WNBA, if Caitlin Clark goes there, which we probably think will happen, but if she's playing in that league, now you have the WNBA coming into prominence in a way that it's not seen before. And it's been around for 20 plus years, 2 decades plus. And so it doesn't, and this is good for basketball, right? Like, we saw Steph do this in college first, and we were like, wow, who's this kid from Davidson who's doing this thing in March Madness and shooting all these threes? That can't transfer to the NBA, could it? And suddenly, not only did it transfer, it changed the way the NBA is played. And teams are shooting 43s a game now, which is just insane. Caitlin Clark might help transfer or transform the way that women's college basketball is played, take it to the WNBA, and have these next wave of kids that are coming in start to emulate her a little bit more. And now you have something that fans are interested in, you have something that the media hopefully will buy into. And then you also have these kids that are coming up that are going to watch these young ladies do their thing and say, want to be just like her.
You know what'll be interesting too, and this is probably a whole other topic, which I'll be brief on, but was just listening over the weekend to some of the current and former WNBA players who are and were tremendous. They were tremendous in college, are tremendous in the WNBA. I saw an interview with Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi, and they were kind of cold towards Caitlin Clark. I mean, they couldn't deny talent and what she's accomplished, obviously. But it was basically kind of like a wait and see approach to her success in the WNBA. I mean, she's already being kind of crowned as, you know, the LeBron, when LeBron, like when LeBron came in, or when Kobe came in, or Jordan, and all those. And they're kind of like, wait a minute, we're not going to throw flowers yet. You got to earn your stripes. It'll be interesting to see the tension that's navigated with that because of what women's basketball is becoming now. And yet I think some of them have a little bit of resentment towards. Yeah.
Well, that's like the old school legend saying, you know, get off my lawn. You know, the old guy saying, get off my lawn, kids, you know, and the old school legend saying they weren't as good as we were in our day. But I hope there's a debate between Diana Taurasi and Caitlin Clark someday, and who's the greatest women player of all time.
Absolutely. Here's where the guys have more leeway to sort of be like, hey, you got to earn your way. We need the Caitlin Clarks. We're trying to get on the mat. And so that was something Sage Steele put out a tweet about this, you know, this resentment, you know, it's ridiculous. I was glad to see Magic Johnson, you know, give his
And LeBron too.
Huge. And of course, Dawn Staley said wonderful things to say. But there is some jealousy there for various reasons. And I've been covering that on the podcast. I won't get into that. I won't get into that now, but I think there's some various reasons for that. But I do hope, but she does, she has to prove herself, of course, you know, but I hope that she's welcoming because she's good for the game.
I appreciate the Adrian Ross Show audience, and I wish nothing but the best for you. But hey, sometimes things happen, and sometimes things happen with our vehicles, and sometimes that includes our transmission. So if you think something is wrong with your transmission, you need to go to DL Transmissions. It is the area's premier transmission repair facility. Check this out. They offer a free transmission inspection. So if you think your vehicle is not working right, call them today at 573-334-8726 or just stop by the shop at 783 South Kings Highway in Cape Girardeau. DL Transmissions is your best choice for quality transmission repair. Go check them out. My friends will take good care of you there. Guardians of Liberty meets every Tuesday at 5 o'clock p.m. at Delmonico's in Jackson. And April 9th, it's the start of a five-part series. Do you remember about 10 years ago, the controversy out west regarding the standoff at the Bundy Ranch? Well, these videos are going to tell you the rest of the story. April 9th is part one. And then there will be a break from that. And on April 16th, you're going to get to hear from Judge Frank Miller, Cape Division III Associate Circle. My role in Division III Associate Circuit Court is the topic. Don't forget, Guardians of Liberty, every Tuesday, 5 o'clock p.m. at Delmonico's.
Ice Cube has a league, men's 3-on-3 league, called the Big Three. Okay?
Big Three.
The Big Three. And he offered Caitlin Clark $5 million, I believe, to play on the league. What's up with that? Serious or not serious? And what are your thoughts about it?
Chris, I'll defer to Jay first.
And they laugh.
I'll jump in. I thought it was genius. It's a marketing move more than anything, right? It's $5 million. And I was like, that's a lot of money. What does she make as a WNBA player? And I went and looked, and it's not even six figures, if I'm not mistaken.
I think the rookie comes in at
$76,000. Wow.
She might be able to negotiate that. And of course she's got endorsements and stuff, but yeah, it's not a lot of money. You're playing the love of the game.
Totally. Now she might not reach 5 million with all her endorsements. Actually, she might. When I say that out loud, maybe she will, but, I was talking about this weekend. I really think she should at least consider it. And I say that because, or at least bring it to the forefront and say, guys, or gals, whoever you're talking to, this is a problem that this guy's offering $5 million and we're getting $76,000. So what I'm saying is use it as leverage. I don't think she's going to go play, but I think she should at least entertain it, acknowledge
like do a
it.
Year, play for a year.
Yeah. I'm really going to date myself, but it reminds me of, you know, NFL players first who block. Say, you know what? We're not going to the NFL. We're going to the USFL because they're giving us tons and tons of money. I'm not saying Caitlin Clark needs to do that, but I do think she should at least acknowledge it so it allows for other women to stand up and say, yeah, we're getting peanuts. Like, we're not making any money. So,
see, I disagree. I think she needs to go right to the WNBA. Mm-hmm. She needs to do her thing, and she needs to be a trailblazer. And more Caitlin Clark's, and again, she's one of one. I mean, she is very, very unique. But when Paige comes up, you know, when all these other stars come on up, just ride the coattails and make a statement, and, you know, make the statement with the way that you play and the way that you're galvanizing a whole generation. Like Sabrina's doing. I think Sabrina is a perfect example. I mean, she's got NBA players wearing her shoe. Like, you don't think Caitlin Clark's going to have a shoe in the WNBA? I mean, she'll make more in endorsements than she will in her own salary, but I think you have to do it that way. Just like Bird and Magic did. Mm-hmm. You know, Bird and Magic changed the trajectory of basketball, you know, in, you know, 79, 80. And I think there's an opportunity, you know, hopefully they take advantage of it. I think there's an opportunity for Caitlin Clark and others to do something similar.
Yeah, because Sabrina's great and she's awesome, but she hasn't transcended and changed the WNBA to become more popular. I'll just say that. Like, she's awesome. And I think the NBA players and her peers love her. And the fact that she's got a sneaker being worn by NBA players is incredible. So there is some groundbreaking, transcending things happening, but I don't think it's bringing more fans to watch the WNBA. Caitlin Clark's going to do that. I promise you every game on the road that she plays is going to be appointment television or appointment. It's going to be sold out. I guarantee it. So, and that'll be a lot of fun to watch. And I do think she's going to go to the WNBA too.
Yeah.
I just think for leverage purposes, because it's so ridiculous, $5 million, what is the WNBA? Like, there's got to be some sort of something that allows for these players to not just make $75,000 a year. Like, that minimum should be way higher because they're professional players at the highest level. You know, the minimum salary in the NBA has got to be close to $1 million a year.
But don't you think, and Adrian, don't you think that, like, when you have a Final Four where, you know, name the two best players in the Final Four on the men's side, and then name the two on the women's side, two to three to four. Like, I mean, most people can't name, you know, Zach Edey, you know, or Donovan Kling. You know, most people around the country can't, but they all know Caitlin Clark. They all know Paige Beckers. You know, they all knew who Angel Reese was. You know, now they all know who Camila Cardosa is. I mean, like, you know these people. And I mean, it's just, I think the more that this takes place, mm-hmm. The more that you're not going to have, it'll translate and it'll speak for itself.
Well, totally. as we wind down, I want to make a point, I guess a cultural point. I hate to call it a political point because it shouldn't really be political. But I get concerned, though, when we start talking about having women play against men, because that becomes this whole, you know, I'm one to say a woman can compete with a man. You go out to the court. I've beaten some guys on the court, but that's not collegiate. That's not professional. That's not some 6'7" dude night in and night out. And I want Caitlin Clark to stand up and say there's a place for women's sports. There's a place for men's sports. And so give us that support, just as you were saying, as she continues to do what she's doing. I want to just show you really quickly a question after the Final Four that Dawn Staley was asked, and mm-hmm. And just talk briefly about her response.
Dan Sekcheski, OutKick coach, you just talked about, you know, what a massive weekend this is, obviously, for women's basketball, women's sports in general. One of the major issues facing women's sports right now is the debate discussion topic about the inclusion of transgender athletes, biological males in women's sports. I was wondering if you would tell me your position on that issue.
Damn, you got deep on me, David.
uh,
I'm under the opinion of if you're a woman, you should play. If you consider yourself a woman or and you want to play sports or vice versa, you should be able to play. That's my opinion. You want me to go deeper?
Do you think transgender women should be able to participate
That's your
in
question you
college
want me to
basketball?
ask. I mean, you want to ask, so I'll give you that. Yes. So now the barnstorm of people are going to flood my timeline and be a distraction to me on one of the biggest days of our game. And I'm okay with that. I really am.
All right, you know, here it is. Far be it from me to sort of end on a bit of a controversial note here, but what do you think? I'll throw it to you. Who wants to jump in first?
Well, I'll take it first. First of all, her PR department should have been ready for this because clearly they didn't prep her for it.
Yes, the
You
way that she answered and paused was
could
clearly.
tell he was completely thrown off guard. And I don't even know. I don't know Dawn Steele. I know at the end of the game when they won the championship, she was giving praise to Christ and her Lord and Savior. And that's, look at, I don't know her. I don't know her faith background and all that. So we'll just leave that there. But I don't know. I don't even know if she believed what she said, to be honest with you. Because she basically, talked out of both sides of her mouth when she said, yeah, I think they should let, if she considers herself a woman, let alone, if she's a woman, if she considers herself a woman, which is sort of hypocritical there. But that's a tough spot for her to be in. In that space, she probably would have been best served at maybe just denying the question, at least there, and especially in that moment, she's got other things to think about. So anyway, that's the first piece. The second piece I would say is I completely disagree with her, for a lot of reasons. Some of that obviously is my theological background, my faith background. Which you guys both know, both of you know very well. But if you're a biological male, regardless of what you consider yourself or call yourself, you should not be participating in women's sports. I think it goes against Title IX, the reason why Title IX was even created. I mean, if you're going to do that, then you might as well just throw Title IX right out the window. Why does it even exist? So I could go on and on this issue. I'm not going to. I'm gonna pass my brother now, so see what he has to say.
Give me the baton, Chris. I have a lot of thoughts on this, and I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of different people. Not as much on the record, but off the record about this topic. I think a lot of people are very scared to speak out about what they really believe. I think the majority of people in sports, particularly women's sports, would say something different than what Dawn Staley said. The majority of people, or at least think differently.
Interesting.
I don't know if they'd say it though.
No, that's a good distinction.
And I think Dawn Staley, if you watch the way that she paused there, clearly you're right, Chris. She was not prepared for that question. On a personal note, from a media perspective, and I actually that guy who asked that question, Dan, I used to work with him on Mike and Mike at ESPN. It's very funny to think about. This is many years ago, 8 years ago. But I know his wife really well too. Used to work with her at ESPN. I don't like the question in that setting personally. I'm not against what that I'm not against having that discussion. I don't like that question in that setting because I know exactly what Dan is doing. And he's doing exactly what happened. Like he's whatever the response from Dawn Staley was going to be, it was going to cause a reaction from if you want to say one side or the other. It was going to cause, which is the whole point of why you asked the question, for clicks, for attention. So that is that part of it. Her answer, I think, said a lot about what she was. The fact that she really didn't know or have an answer prepared. We were talking about this yesterday with some friends that I was with in Phoenix. The right response would have been, I appreciate your question. I do have a lot of thoughts on that. We're focusing on the Women's College Basketball Championship right now. I'd be happy to talk to you about this another time, but right
When
now
it's
I'm just
over.
going to say that we're focusing on the game. But I appreciate your question. And I would
Thank you.
just leave it at that. She could have answered, and but that's not Dawn Staley, which is kind of why I like Dawn Staley too, is she's not afraid to just say what she thinks and say what she wants. I mean, she spent 2 minutes talking about the Lord after they won the championship yesterday. So kudos to her for being bold in that regard too. But my personal stance is very similar to Chris's. I mean, to me, it's the most common sense thing in the world that has become a debate, which is just mind-boggling to me, that we would even think that it was okay for a biological male. And if you want to transition to a female, whatever, that's fine. But you can't tell me that you're not created differently than biological females, and then just thrust them in and let them do their thing. Now, I will say this, I was doing some research today, and I saw that I think there's like 33 athletes in Division I that would be trans athletes playing in women's sports out of the whatever it is, hundreds of that's like over 100,000, I think was the number. So it's minuscule right now. It's like 0.5% or even less than that, 0.2%. But I did see a few people say this, and I kind of agree. This is where we need to start the conversation, though, and stop it now, because when you open up doors for opportunities, eventually that stuff can go down the road and start to escalate and snowball into a more dangerous place. I don't want my daughter playing softball against a guy who wants to be a girl throwing a lot faster than a girl throws or whatever. And I'm just using that as an example. I don't think that's fair, and I don't think that's in some cases safe either. And I've seen that in the small instances that we've seen that have been publicly out there with swimming and with I think we saw one recently with basketball. So it's just, but I'm not trying to be political or anything like that. It doesn't have to be a political issue. It's just common sense. And having a daughter, go back to that. It's a big deal when you have a kid of your own that played sports, as Chris and I both do, who are female, and knowing that we wouldn't want our kids to have to go through that. Because it does. It literally throws Title IX out the window when you start to talk about situations like this.
You're shaking your head, Romano. I thought you were going to
It's
answer
hard. It's hard to bite my tongue on this one, but I'm going to do that.
that. Okay. Well, I'll say this, and as we end, I'll say that I think Dawn Staley said exactly what she meant. I think the pause you saw was, well, she was not prepared for it, but also, do I really want to get into this, and will this get me into some trouble in this important game coming up? But she says what she means, and I respect her legacy, but I don't generally agree with some of her worldview as I know it.
100%.
And so I think she meant it, and I think it's a I thought it was a dangerous statement, not only dangerous for women who have to play against men. I mean, think of 6'7" Cardoso Matt against a 6'7" guy. It's a whole different thing. And I thought about this before she even made those comments. When I thought about Caitlin Clark, I was just thinking about this recently. How many of those records would she now have if she were up against men? If she had to play against guys, I don't know that we would be talking about Caitlin Clark as we
It's a
are.
hypothetical, but I think it's a valid question. And I mean, I don't mean to go back to Dawn Staley, but like, if that's what Dawn Staley truly believes, and she was a phenomenal player at
Legend.
Virginia in her own right, right? But like, would she have the same perspective if she was going against Michael Jordan during her college years, or she was going against somebody of that
Charles
caliber?
Barkley. Yeah,
Would
exactly.
she have had
Oh,
that?
goodness.
Have had that perspective? I don't think so. So it is opening up a can of worms that that must be closed if we're going to have equity, true equity, in the game
Or
of
not
basketball.
have, or don't have a woman in a men's league. Just they all just go in there together. And I think her team, as well as other players, deserve someone who would advocate that they be allowed to play with other women and not have what they've accomplished be totally wiped out. And so, kind of ending on that note. But overall, I just wanted to say thank you, because our conversation has given not only insight from your own experience and from your observations, but also for the future and where we're headed. And I think it gives me hope, and I hope it gives other people hope as well for where we're going with this. So Jason, though, I want you to be able, I want you to tell people where they can find your work, because it's such important work, faith-based work in the sports arena.
Yeah, it's sportsspectrum.com is the website. And we have a magazine. Our podcast, the Sports Spectrum podcast that I host, is out there. We're releasing 3 episodes a week, and we want more women. I make it a point to try and interview as many women as possible, but we want more women on our Sports Spectrum podcast. So shout out to the ladies out there. If they're listening, send us some story ideas and some ideas of people to talk to. But yeah, we are, I'm just so proud of what we've been able to build and work with the last few years. And yeah, our website has all the content. That's probably the best place to go. And we have an app, a brand new app, Sports Spectrum app, coming this summer, which I'm really excited about. So I'm pumped. Yeah. Excellent.
And I'll consider that your final word, Romano, your final word, even what you're doing, and maybe where people can keep up with what's going on with you as we end.
Yeah. So currently
Chris Romano.
You know, all the people call me Romano too, Chris, which is so funny that she calls you that, because I hear it all the time too.
Not a lot of people do. I mean, you know, I call her Ross.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Romano. So, but not a lot of people call me. I'm usually Rom. Or I'm Pastor Chris. That's usually...
Yes. Usually I do refer to you as Pastor Chris.
Yeah, that's normally what I get. But I'm currently the president of Vision Christian Bible College and Seminary. You can check us out at vcbcs.org. And I'm so excited about what's happening within that space. We're really creating discipleship and equipping resources for not just college students, but really for any believer who wants to just grow, not only in their faith, in the word of God, but really in their calling, in their ministry calling. And we got things transitioning again in the Romano household, which will come down the pike here in a little bit. We're never stationary. We're never static. We're always moving. So you'll hear about that in the coming days too.
All right. A little suspense there. Jason and Chris, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking your time. God bless you guys.
Thanks, Andrew. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. I'm thankful that you had an opportunity to meet the Romano brothers. Their experience, their insight has brought a lot to this conversation. And I'm thoroughly excited to hear men who know sports, who have daughters, but who have coached and who have played and love what is happening with women's sports. So great, great, great conversation. Please continue to support The Adrian Ross Show. Go to YouTube if you're not there already, at The Adrian Ross Show. And if you are there already, also make sure you subscribe and turn your notifications on so that you don't miss anything. Also go to podcast platforms, subscribe there, leave a rating, leave a review. And of course, my Substack. I write, I don't just run my mouth. AdrianRoss.substack.com. I would appreciate your subscription there. And don't forget, I'm a part of the BMG Network. That is the BMGNetwork.com. There are other podcasters there. You want to check them out also. All right, that's it for today. I'll catch you next time, God willing. God bless you abundantly.